Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
I appreciate that. So you are there, like I said, we were just talking about Vegas and all of the fun things. I love Vegas. I'm not a gambler, but I definitely love a good restaurant, shopping, and a good show. Lots of entertainment there. How long have you resided in Las Vegas?
Since 2006.
Wow.
15 years now.
Yeah. That was at the height of the real estate boom there. Everybody was buying. They were getting a nonprofit status and they were buying a home.
That's what brought me there.
Wow. Now, you're originally from Los Angeles?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Me too. But I moved down to San Diego.
Oh, that's a beautiful city also.
Yeah, it's lovely. So Brains, today we are going to talk with Kelly Alexander here on the Edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull, and all my brains have the most beautiful smile. Look at that. Look at that. Brains, we're going to talk about some taxation without representation. Okay, this is the end of the year. We're going into the first of the year. Things have changed so much. You know, we had this big with our last administration, number 45. There was some shifts and some credits and a whole bunch of stuff. I didn't have any understanding of what it was. Then we get 46 and he wants to do something different. But this woman here specializes. She is a tax strategist. Okay. She works with business owners and you work with individuals as well, correct?
Yes.
To teach them really the most strategic way to work with your taxation, with your business, with your finance, you know, and sometimes you can really come ahead of the game because it's all about knowledge. It's about what you know and how you apply it, not cheating, not lying and trying to tuck stuff away, because I'm telling you, it's a point and a click. But this woman has a clear-cut strategy on how to reduce your taxation. And we want to welcome her to the Edge. Hello, Kelly Alexander.
Hello, April, and hello, brains.
Hey.
Good to be here.
Hey, we're going to use our brains today because, girl, I'm taking notes. I got my tablet ready. I want to, you know, I want to get into the nitty gritty of this. I've got some things that have come up with regards to my taxes. Well, here, I'm going to self-disclose. Once upon a time, I owed the IRS a whole lot of money. And it was a horrible feeling. Yeah. I didn't know if, you know, I was going to go to get my paycheck and they had confiscated it. I didn't know if they were going to take out the little money I had in the bank. I didn't know if they were going to put a lien on my property. When the mailman would come, I would just dread it. And you know what? On the flip side of that, now that I'm in a much better headspace, we live in the best country in the world. I don't mind paying my taxes. I look at my roads, I look at my schools, I look at electricity, I look at all of the great things that I'm able to purchase, but I don't want to be railroaded because I'm in the middle class here. They just steamroll over me. If you're super rich, you know, you don't pay anything. If you're super poor, you don't pay anything. But the one in the middle pays everything.
It's true. It's true, and it's unfortunate. So going back to your first comments about, you know, President number 45, and now we have number 46, and all the things that they're each doing or we're doing. My strategy is makes whoever is in office irrelevant. So what I'm going to be sharing with you today is some little known banking law, not in the tax code. This remedy comes from outside of the IRS tax codes. And it harkens back to what the founding fathers actually set up and designed America to function. So I help people, you know, return to what the original design was. So most people honestly are never going to hear about this strategy. But you here, you are.
I'm telling you, Brains, you're on the cutting edge. Let's dial back before we get into the strategy. I want them to know a little bit about you and why you are so passionate and why you have made this your life mission.
All right. So back in 08, I was trading the stock market and learning about the Federal Reserve. Little by little, I read something about the Creature from Jekyll Island. That's a great book on how that institution works. And I began realizing that the Federal Reserve and the IRS are joined at the hip. Yet this is never spoken about in our media, our education systems, our financial services industry, Wall Street. No parties I have ever heard tie those two entities together.
Yeah, they're in bed together.
Yes.
And it, you know what? It's not even a king size. It's a twin. They're tight.
There you go. Yes, it's a very cozy relationship. In fact, one would not exist without the other. So I was curious about American history. I started studying various commercial remedies. When I was 16, getting my very first job, the employer handed me a W-4 and I read it. And it says, if you did not owe taxes last year and you expect to not owe taxes this coming year, you can write exempt for withholdings. And I thought to myself, wow, there's a way to be exempt. And yeah, that was, you know, the grain of sand and the oyster that worked on me for 30 years before I actually literally studied the subject. But that always gnawed at me. What, you know, there's something going on deeper than what we see on the surface. So that was part of it. In 08, I did a strategy with IRS that had some elements of merit to it, but ultimately it was flawed. And I got into deep doo-doo with IRS. I ended up owing lots of money. I had a big levy on my income.
That will cause you to, well, people have killed themselves because of that. They've gone to prison because of that. It's a horrible feeling. It's like having a gangster on your back or something. It's horrible. Well,
it is. It is horrible. And we, my husband and I, were assigned a particularly...
choose your words carefully.
Yes. A particularly difficult revenue officer for our case. Anyway, most people, having gone through what I went through, would have just curled up in the field position and, you know, put their head down and just gone back, you know, to the status quo. Okay, I got it wrong. It was part of my learning curve. I kept studying, and then I found what I now teach. It's called the redemption of lawful money. It comes from Title 12 of the United States Code in the banking law. And honestly, for people that are just hearing this information for the first time, it's going to sound far out. It's going to sound too good to be true, but I have been living it since 2014. Every year, I have done this strategy. I work with dozens and dozens and dozens of clients, and every client is a success story. So just be open-minded, hear what I have to say, and then go and verify everything that I tell you. If this is something that resonates with you, if you want to learn more about how it could apply to your individual situation. So I got a couple of secrets.
Okay.
The first main idea is that we actually have two distinct currencies in our American economy. We are all familiar with the dominant currency, and that's the Federal Reserve note. That's what's in our wallets. You know, that's, like I said, it's the dominant primary legal tender for the nation.
Right. That is backed by absolutely nothing.
Well, we've been off the gold standard since 1933. I have a different take on what you just said, in a sense that is correct, but I've come to view our Federal Reserve note, it's backed by the labor, the creativity, and the innovation of the American people.
Oh, that's beautiful. Okay.
We are the real drivers and producers and creators. So I see us now as we're on the people standard, not the gold standard.
Okay.
It's interesting subtlety, but yeah.
Again, like I said, you told me to open my mind. I'm opening the tin can.
Open the mind and let those brains fire off some new synapses.
Absolutely.
Make some new connections. All right. So the Federal Reserve came into being in 1913. So what happened before 19, before the Federal Reserve Act? We had money prior to the Federal Reserve note. We had currency that's issued straight from our Congress, authorized by our U.S. Constitution. When the Congress issues the money of the country, there's no third-party middleman central bank that creates an obligation back on the government to repay all the funds that the Federal Reserve issues.
So, okay, wait. Because I want to be clear when I understand this.
Yes.
So Congress issued a bunch of checks to help everyone out through the stimulus check.
Correct.
Process. Okay. Versus the Federal Reserve. Am I looking at that somewhere?
So yeah, let me clarify that. That's a great question. Yes, Congress passes bills and they vote on things and all this legislation happens. However, the Federal Reserve is funding all of these spending projects that the Congress votes on.
Okay.
So yes, the Congress votes on that, but the money is sourced from the private credit of the Federal Reserve. Okay. So all this money that's being issued out becomes a debt obligation on the U.S. government to be paid back both in principal and in interest to the Federal Reserve. That's how our system works. If the Federal Reserve was not involved and the Congress was just generating its own money as it did pre-1913, there's no middleman central bank to pay a loan to. It's just the money issued into the economy is a reflection of the goods and services that the people produce and create. And, you know, we aim for roughly a 3% growth in our gross domestic product each year. So, you know, it's good and normal for new money to enter the system. What the challenge with the IRS or the Federal Reserve is that it indirectly incentivizes the congressmen and women to be more cavalier with spending money. Honestly, my opinion, they have become reckless with spending of money for all kinds of various, you know, pet projects and whatever. Okay. So, you know, because the Federal Reserve is more than happy to lend. That's how it, you know, that's how it works. That's how it earns its money. Mm-hmm. So currently money generated by the Congress outside of the Federal Reserve is known as United States notes as opposed to Federal Reserve notes. They stopped going into circulation back in the 1970s, and the U.S. Treasury put out a statement saying that the Federal Reserve note can serve as either or currency. It's just a matter of making a record which currency you're using. Okay? Very simple. So the unique feature about the United States note, or this other different, separate, second lawful money, is that because it doesn't have to be paid back to the Federal Reserve, it is not subject to income tax. That's the mind blower. So I'm just going to pause, let you kind of take that in. So okay, I show.
Okay, but I'm going to inject. Keep where you are on the same trajectory, but I'm also trying to create a parallel in my mind with this cryptocurrency. Totally different subject, but in the same vein, because it is peer-to-peer. There is no middle woman. I buy a house from you. I give the money to Kelly Alexander. She gives me the property. You don't have to go to the mortgage company, the bank, your mother, your daddy, your grandma to get, you don't have to borrow all of that. This is straight peer-to-peer. So this is, in my mind, again, I'm trying to create a collation here, similar to the U.S. note.
There are some similar elements. You're correct.
Okay. All right. But we're not talking about cryptocurrency, Brains. I'm just trying to figure out where we're going in the future based off what we've done in the past. Okay. Continue, teacher.
Right. All right. So because the United States issued currency is not taxable, I show people some simple processes for making a record, which currency they use or prefer to use, and then how to prepare their tax return so that they are not taxed on their income. The process is actually quite simple. And that's really it. I mean, that's what.
Okay, but how can we get a U.S. note? That's the deal. That's the tricky part. And how do you know? Is it on the back of the $20 bill? Does it say, in U.S. Congress we trust instead of God we trust? How do you distinguish? How do you know where you're getting your money from?
Okay, so because they have stopped putting those U.S. notes into circulation, the only ones that exist are in private collections. But let me explain to you banking law. I have just a quick little, image here. I don't know if it's.
Okay, hold on. Let me give you full screen. All right. So pull it back just a little bit. Give people a minute to actually kind of read through that.
I'm going to explain it.
All right.
Because I know it's hard to read. I just want to show you, this is direct from the United States Code, which stands for, United States Code. It's a body of law with, I think it's 52 chapters, and each chapter is dedicated to a different area of law. Title 12 is the banking law. And it says in there that Federal Reserve notes, they shall be redeemed in lawful money on demand at the Treasury Department of the United States and City of Washington, D.C., or at any Federal Reserve Bank. So what does this mean? Federal Reserve notes shall be redeemed. Redeemed means to exchange for something else, trade in for something else, buy out an interest, with something else, okay? Shall be redeemed in lawful money. Okay, what does that mean? So lawful money has to be some other kind of money than the Federal Reserve note. Otherwise, there's no exchange to make. Mm-hmm. So this is referring to the other lawful money, and that is the money that the Congress is authorized to issue. And you do this on demand, either at the U.S. Treasury or at any Federal Reserve Bank. So
can't do it at the credit union. I'm banking with
a credit union is tied into the Federal Reserve. Yes, all the major banks, city banks, state banks, they're all Federal Reserve members. That's how our system is set up. So you can do it at your local bank where you normally do that. There are a few ways depending on the nature of the income that goes into your bank account as to how you make this demand. Many people that work a job are paid their paycheck with direct deposit. Mm-hmm. The employer just electronically moves the money. For an electronic movement of money, there's something called a direct deposit authorization. And it basically says, I, the employee, give my employer the right to move you know, my pay to this bank at this routing number and this account number. Mm-hmm. And then they sign it. What I do is I show people how to put these magic legal words: lawful money is demanded pursuant to Title 12, subsection 411, and then they sign. And that tells the bank what that you've done this exchange. It is presumed that you are conducting your commercial financial transactions in Federal Reserve notes unless and until you break that presumption. And that's what that wording does. And so you still pay your bills with Federal Reserve notes. You still, you know, handle the same money. You do two things when you do this. You stop your tax liability for income tax only, whether it's federal or state. And you help the government lower the national debt, because the amount of your, say, your annual income, let's just for round numbers, say $100,000. Mm-hmm. $100,000 comes off of the debt obligation of the Congress to pay that back to the Federal Reserve, mm-hmm. plus interest. And the way the fractional reserve lending process works, all deposits received by a bank are allowed to, they have it, this fractional lending, they can extrapolate 10 to 20 to 30 times your deposit and generate new money into the system through loans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Every dollar of a new loan becomes a dollar of debt on the U.S. government. So right. $100,000 income over the course of a year can lead to $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 of new money, new debt that the U.S. government is obligated for. And that's why the income tax exists, is to pay this debt. So we are helping the government lower that debt when we do this exchange. And that's why we individually are no longer required to pay tax. And that's based on statutory law, United States Code, federal law. This law came into being in 1933 when they went off the gold standard, and it's still viable today.
Okay. So how do you present this to your CPA? Say, hey, you know what? Yada, yada, yada. Kelly Alexander gave me this tax code. This is what I want to put into place. Because you know what? Again, it sounds too good to be true.
It does. I know.
And like you said, open that tin can and process it. But some of the greatest things in the world are simplistic.
It's true.
It doesn't have to be complicated. And we make it complicated by overthinking it, by adding on all these different layers, by listening to all these outside influences, by the trickery.
Yeah.
You know, they tell you, okay, someone will tell you right now, you got to pay this, you got to pay that. My concern is the person that implements this, mm-hmm. they're going to be scared. They're going to be scared, and they are, you know, they're going to be audited. So that's why you have to have your paperwork straight from the get-go. You can't just abracadabra, oh, I don't want to, you know, I want to take advantage of this, and I want to start being paid, you know, through U.S. notes instead of through the Federal Reserve. You've got to have good record keeping. You've got to have things to substantiate and validate.
Correct.
So many people think that they're little, we'll talk to entrepreneurs here real quick. Entrepreneurs, newsflash, you can be entrepreneur real quick. You think that you're putting things through your PayPal account or Venmo, or you're getting cash under the table. Baby, there is a paper trail if it is nothing but your fingerprint on it. People know it is a point and a click away. Mm-hmm. I told myself when I got out of that trouble with the IRS, I said, Lord Jesus, you ain't got to never. I told myself, you know, once I got out of that little kerfuffle with the IRS, God, you ain't got to ever worry about me. You know, I want a refund. Now I don't even need a refund because I don't want to give them money to use tax-free. I just want to break even. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep good records, but as a person that keeps good records, that pays my taxes, that is an entrepreneur, that knows how to separate fact from fiction, what's my business account, what's my personal account, I would be a little hesitant to implement something like this. How does a person start with that strategy? I want them to work with you, absolutely, but how can they start setting themselves up so that they come to you with a tight package?
Well, there's really nothing for them to do before they come to me other than go to my website. I have an ebook there that's a free download, read through it, and start verifying the information in there. I know that this is a leap of faith for most people. There is so much conditioning, and IRS have got to be the three scariest letters to Americans. So I understand the emotion associated with that.
Oh, yeah.
You and I have been through the trenches with the IRS. So there's that. But so much of what the IRS puts out is misleading at best and false at worst. It's just, you know, the tax code is at least 90,000 pages long. Not even a team of 25 brilliant CPAs could master the whole tax code. It changes, it grows. You know, wealthy people hire lobbyists to go in and create tax laws that benefit them. And like you said, the poor don't pay much. The ultra wealthy don't pay much. All the rest of us in the middle are paying the bulk of it. What's unfortunate to me is we do not need the Federal Reserve. And because of that, or if it was ever abolished, which the Congress could do in a day, but doesn't have the spine to, there would be no more IRS.
Well, you know what? And then I'm a conspiracy theorist too. I like a good drama. Okay. So the Illuminati's and the World Bank and all of that, but you know what? To me, it's true. It's true. Other governments and their influence on, the United States is all interwoven.
It is.
So how come there's not a bullseye on your back, Queen?
Well, I've been asking myself that.
I'm glad there's not, but
for one thing,
the knowledge.
I am operating within the law. That's one thing. My influence at this point is a nanoparticle compared to the whole dynamic of what's going on in our nation right now. Mm-hmm. I'm not even a pinprick.
Right.
They got bigger issues to deal with than little old Kelly Alexander.
Well, and it's a lot of distractions, brains.
See, there's tough.
That is what it is all about. That's what I tell you. My favorite word, what is it, brains? Trickery. It's to have you all confused instead of just fact-based information. If you deal with the facts, you wouldn't be having anxiety. You wouldn't be broke. You wouldn't be stressed. You wouldn't be hateful. You wouldn't be worrying about people's color of their skin.
Right.
You wouldn't worry about if they're vaccinated or not if you deal with the facts.
We're not a fact-based society anymore.
No.
We have become a propaganda-based society. I hate to say it.
And people are just sucking it up like Kool-Aid with a straw.
Yeah.
And they're sharing this on social media platforms. Yeah. You'll ask someone where they got their information. Oh, I saw it on Facebook. Really? So now that's the gospel, right? They have not done any other research. You have provided us exactly a point of reference where to go to get this information, to read about it and verify it for ourselves.
Yes.
Take this information to your tax preparer or CPA.
Actually, I don't recommend that.
Really?
Let me explain why. CPAs, tax attorneys, tax preparers, these are very educated, very smart, very highly trained people. They deserve a lot of credit. Their expertise is in the tax code.
Mm.
This remedy that I'm sharing with you from Title 12 is not in the tax code. It's in the banking law. It is an entire different body of law, an entire different area of the law. And it's just, it's outside of their expertise. Okay. They don't know about it any more than the man walking down the street if you ask him, hey, you know, what's lawful money?
And you know what? I say this with all respect to them as well. Yes. But they might be in that twin bed too.
Well, they're not volitionally. They're right. Part of this, of a cog in the system. This is how the system is set up. They're very compliance oriented and they keep people going, you know, walking down that road of, you know, this is the status quo.
Okay.
I don't fault them for that. I mean, they're doing what they're trained to do and they're
okay. So I get that. So who do we go to help us when we go to prepare our taxes after something like this? Because you're not a tax preparer, you're not a CPA. You have all of the skills and expertise, but I have all of this information. Right. I've got this $100,000. I need to do my taxes come April 15th. And then I see that I have a tax debt of $15,000.
Right.
I'm totally confused there because again, if my CPA or tax preparer is not knowledgeable and knows how to utilize this, mm-hmm. then so, how do they prepare?
So in my coaching program, I teach you how to prepare it. Mm. I show you, I work with you, I hold your hand through the process. It is not necessary to be a licensed tax preparer. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your daughter, anybody can prepare a tax return for a friend or help a friend. Mm-hmm. So if I were to become licensed, I would be disallowed to teach what I currently teach.
So I
serve as a coach. I work with you very closely. I look over your shoulder, make sure every I is dotted, every T is crossed, and we do it together.
Well, I'm telling you because you have to be as sharp as an IRS, agent or a CPA, because you are keeping a close, watchful eye on what's going on. But at the same breath, all of these other distractions are irrelevant if you understand what bucket of money you're actually working out of. Is that correct? So if you're converting things and you're working, you know, with the U.S. note that's distributed from Congress and you have all that set up, that's different than dealing with, you know, the Federal Reserve, because the Federal Reserve is cold-blooded. Everybody's watching the news to see, is interest rates going up? Is there inflation, deflation of the American dollar? You know, the trillions and trillions of dollars of debt that we're in. They keep adding to the federal, you know, raising the ceiling.
The debt ceiling.
You know, I wish I could raise my debt ceiling.
That's what I mean by the Congress has become seduced into just keep doing this game that is not, it's, you know, it's getting more and more treacherous.
Right. Yeah. It's scary. It's
a house really of cards. Scary. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to come crumbling down. I mean, you know, I remember my grandmother telling me about how tough it was during 1929.
Right.
And the crash and people jumping out of windows. They were in, she said she was in the government cheese line trying to get her some cheese and milk and cereal, powdered milk for her kids to eat, because it wasn't because they didn't want to work. It was that there was a shutdown of the financial institutions.
Yeah.
A lot of people have money in these banks. Brains, do you know how much you are insured for at your financial institution in the event something collapses? But what cracks me up is they insure me in case it collapses, but you got to go to the collapse institution for the insurance.
Yeah, FDIC insurance. They brag about it like it's some special thing. Well, what do you think is going to happen in a real crash?
And I look at people that another thing that they don't do. Brains, do you have any cash on you? My son, he probably doesn't even remember what cash looks like. In the event of a natural disaster or an emergency, it's a domino effect. You can't get gas. Your car's not going to work.
Right.
Okay. Who's going to be there to refill the ATM after there's been a run on the money? You know, it's just you have to have some cash there.
It's good to have. Yeah.
Also, I am into, I am a collector of precious metals.
Good.
You know, you've got to diversify your portfolio. I'm going to have someone to talk about, come on the show and talk about cryptocurrency, because I want you to understand what it is, Brains. I'm not telling you to run out and go buy Bitcoin or, you know, all these other things that are coming up right now. That's a personal choice. But I want you to understand how currency works. Once upon a time, they used feathers, they used beans, they used people, and it was a matter of trade. The Chinese came out with the dollar bill and paper currency as a form of a receipt. Okay, I can't give you the cattle, but let me give you this tenure. Let me give you this, this document saying that for this, this is what you're going to get. And then it just evolved into what it is now. You look at the Brexit. What happened? How they all were so excited about the euro. Oh, okay. Woo, 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 woo. And now what? London, one of the chief orchestrators, has pulled out. I haven't even been keeping up with that. There's a lot going on in the world of finance. Teach your children financial literacy. Teach them about the tax code. Work with great people like Kelly Alexander, if nothing else, to get the information. Information is power, but it's not power until it's applied. Try it and see.
Right.
Try it and see. This may not be for everybody. I'm not encouraging you to do anything outside. Kelly's not encouraging you to do anything outside of what you're doing, you know, but this is an option. This is something to explore. This is something that could help you prepare generational wealth.
Yeah.
You know, and sustain yourself in the event of a disaster. Tell my brains how to get in contact with you. This has been a wealth of information. I can't wait. See, because I got the master to it, Brains. I can go back and rewatch it. And I'm going to be calling you, Kelly, really to check this out and see what I'm going to do, because the first of the year is coming.
Yes, it is. All right. So my webpage is mytaxremedy.com. Mytaxremedy.com. Very simple. Like I said, there's a free downloadable ebook on there, about 15 pages, a lot of dense information. It'll build on what I've shared with you here today, and that will put you on my newsletter list. I don't do a lot of emails, once a month, roughly.
Oh, wonderful.
So you know,
you get overwhelmed and then you get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
Check it out, Brains. It's an option. It's a choice. And that's what we do here on the Edge every day. We provide you with options and choices and information. You know, it's a resource. That's what we do. That's why podcasting is so popular. I want you to go in and like, love, subscribe, and share. See if we can build some momentum. You know, see if people are really interested at looking at taxation without representation and who's representing you and how much you're paying for that representation. Okay. Thank you so much, Kelly. Come back, visit me, keep me informed, girl.
I will.
All right.
I'm glad to be here. And yeah, thank you, Brains. It's been awesome.
You're a rock star. All right, Brains, get your money straight. Bye.